Britain summons the Israeli ambassador over the fake British passports used by an Israeli hit squad to kill a top Hamas official. Giving no details, the White House says the largest coalition assault on a Taliban stronghold in Afghanistan is going well. And the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says Western countries are spreading lies about Tehran's nuclear energy program.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the news here on Press TV.
Thank you for joining us. Britain has summoned Israel's ambassador to the Foreign Office over the fake British passports used by a hit squad to kill a top Hamas official. British MPs called for the summon on Wednesday, and Prime Minister Gordon Brown has called for a full investigation into the use of forged British passports by the hit squad. Israel's Mossad Secret Service is accused of killing Mahmoud al-Mabhouh in Dubai last month. At least seven Israelis with dual nationality say their identities were stolen by assassins thought to be Mossad agents.
The finger of blame has fallen on Israel's security service Mossad as more information is released about the last month's assassination of a top Hamas official in Dubai. The United Arab Emirates police now say a professional hit squad comprising at least 17 people were behind the assassination of Mahmoud al-Mabhouh in a hotel in Dubai on January 20th. 11 of these people have already been identified by Dubai police as European passport holders. Six British, three Irish, one French and one German citizens make up the team which carried out the assassination during their 19-hour stay in Dubai. At least five of these names match those of Israeli dual nationals. Britain summoned Israel's ambassador to the Foreign Office on Wednesday to protest the use of fake British passports by Mahmoud killers. Ireland, in the meantime, says no one with such names exists in its database. The British government sources told the Daily Telegraph that the three Irish passport holders are most likely Mossad agents carrying false documentation. What has made the issue more complicated is that the alleged fake passports were used for travel in Europe and Asia in the month preceding the murder. A former Mossad officer says it's impossible to evade Dubai's border security with fake identities.
20 years ago, 30 years ago, you could just fake passport printed by yourself, sometimes better quality than the original one, but still it's a fake. Today, in 2010, it's almost impossible because any immigration officer in Dubai airport today has more database, bigger database than Edgar Hoover had as chief of the FBI 50 years ago. Therefore, the passports have to be authentic.
Dubai police are also questioning two Palestinians arrested in connection with the killing. Mossad and other Israeli intelligence agencies have a long history of such assassinations. In 1978, Britain protested to Israel about the use of forged British passports by Mossad agents. A similar incident in New Zealand led to a one-year suspension of relations between Tel Aviv and Wellington in 2004. Israeli Foreign Minister has not denied that Israel carried out the killing, but said there's no proof Mossad is behind the assassination. Mossad has always kept a policy of ambiguity on the intelligence matters. The difference is that this time a number of Israeli citizens who deny being part of the operation are also involved. It remains to be seen if Western countries, including Israel's biggest ally, the United States, would push for more accountability from the Israeli side.
Now, Hamas political bureau chief Khaled Mashal has called for revenge on Israel for the assassination of the Hamas official in Dubai. Mashal called on the Palestinian resistance groups to retaliate for the assassination. He denounced what he called Israel's terrorist activities against the Palestinians and said Tel Aviv cannot get legitimacy and stability through terrorism. Mashal said Israel has no prospects in the region. He also said Israel's failure in its war in the Gaza Strip revealed its fake existence. He also said the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas will retaliate any Israeli attack with counter-raids. Meanwhile, Palestinians held rallies in the Gaza Strip to commemorate the assassinated Hamas official Mahmoud al-Mabhouh.
اليوم لنقول لعدونا الذي ارتكب هذه الجريمة إن الثأر قادم قادم قادم.
The International Committee of the Red Cross says Israeli security measures in the West Bank are severely affecting the daily life of Palestinians. The ICRC says living a normal life is close to impossible for many people in the West Bank. Checkpoints and roadblocks have been found as the primary causes of disruption to normal life. The Red Cross says it considers Israel's settlements in the West Bank illegal. It says Palestinians are being attacked by Israeli settlers and are losing land to settlements. The organization has also accused Israel of violating international law by continuing to construct the barrier in the West Bank. In 2004, the International Court of Justice issued an advisory opinion calling for the removal of the barrier and compensating Palestinians.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has called for direct negotiations to resolve stalled peace talks with the Palestinians.
Ultimately, the only way we can reach a final settlement is through direct negotiations for peace. This is the only way you can actually resolve this issue. But proximity talks should lead to direct talks, and direct talks are the only way that we could realistically resolve this issue.
Well, Netanyahu says starting the process requires third-party assistance. His comments come after the U.S. Middle East envoy, George Mitchell, offered to mediate indirect talks. Netanyahu's call for direct negotiations comes as Israel continues expanding settlements on the occupied West Bank, despite the announcement of a temporary freeze. Palestinians say they want a complete freeze before the resumption of peace talks. They've also announced that they want all the occupied West Bank back and East Jerusalem al-Quds as the capital of their future state.
Reports say Taliban's resistance has slowed coalition progress in the southern city of Marja. A NATO commander says Taliban bomb makers have not been cowed by the presence of U.S. Marines and a large contingent of Afghan soldiers in the city. Surveillance drones have shown Taliban fighters operating freely, that is, in some parts of the city, but White House spokesman Robert Gibbs says the coalition offensive is going well. Gibbs' comments came after President Barack Obama was briefed by his top war commander, General Stanley McChrystal, in Afghanistan. Some 15,000 Afghan, U.S. and NATO troops launched the largest military operation of the Afghan war a few days ago.
Well, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says the Iranian nation will stand up to arrogant powers' domination over the world.
صریح میگیم ما با استکبار مخالفیم، ما با نظام سلطه مخالفیم. ما با تسلط چند تا کشور بر سرنوشت عالم به شدت مخالفیم و با اون مبارزه میکنیم و نمیذاریم اینا با سرنوشت دنیا بازی کنن.
Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei says Western countries are spreading lies about Tehran's nuclear energy program and the situation of democracy and human rights in Iran because the country insists on its rights. He slammed the comments of the U.S. Secretary of State during her recent tour of the Persian Gulf region. Ayatollah Khamenei said Hillary Clinton's visit was aimed at repeating lies about Iran. He added that the U.S. has never cared about the interests of regional nations. He said Washington has instead trampled on the rights of the countries in the Middle East. Ayatollah Khamenei further pointed to the mass rallies marking the 31st anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution. He said the enemies predicted that the rallies would plunge Iran into a civil war. But he said the massive turnout of the Iranian nation was tantamount to a punch in the mouth of Iran's enemies. Ayatollah Khamenei underlined that those who act according to the will of the enemies will lose.
Iran says it will not be considering any offers which may lead to the shutting down of its Tehran research reactor. The comment comes after a letter from Russia, France and the United States to the IAEA surfaced, suggesting that Iran stop operating its reactor and get its much-needed medical isotopes from the world market instead. Gisu Misha Ahmadi has more on this.
Time is running out for 850,000 Iranian kidney, heart and cancer patients. desperate for treatment that requires radio medicine. Iran's foreign ministry was quick to point out on Wednesday that it is not at all rational to say that the country should not produce the much-needed medicine. That in response to the letter Russia, France, and the United States wrote to the International Atomic Energy Agency on Tuesday, suggesting that Iran could buy medical isotopes from international markets. But at Tehran's research reactor, aside from the 2- to 3-fold treatment costs, scientists see the other side of the coin.
In large amount of these radio pharmacies are produced in countries such as Canada, Belgium, Holland, and also South Africa. But in the region, we are the first one producing about 200 generators for our patients.
As a signatory to the non-proliferation treaty, Iran has the legal right to enrich uranium, and while the production of the fuel is carried out under complete supervision of the International Atomic Energy Agency, the three countries have expressed concern over Iran's enrichment program, claiming that it cannot produce the needed nuclear fuel in time to ensure the uninterrupted production of medical isotopes by the Tehran Research Reactor.
Last year at the Isfahan site, Iran produced fueled rods, and that was the third instance when the U.S. government had said Iran is not capable of doing that. So since we have had this history of the Western side claiming Iran is not capable of doing something, and Iran actually does exactly what the other side said it's not able to do.
Observers say that Iran's initial proposal on January 6th to the IAEA to help the country purchase its necessary fuel could have laid the groundwork for building trust and ending the stalemate between Iran and the P5+1, but has now ironically turned into an excuse to impose, unlike what U.S. claims, more not-so-smart sanctions on Iran aimed at the economy and directly affecting ordinary people. A policy which has proven ineffective when it comes to a nation striving for independence and progress.
Iran has repeatedly announced that it remains open to talks over a fuel swap. However, Tehran insists that its conditions regarding guarantee issues need to be taken into consideration. Ism Shahmadi, Press TV, Tehran.
And you're watching the news here on Press TV. Recap of the headlines this hour. Britain summons the Israeli ambassador over the fake British passports used by an Israeli hit squad to kill a top Hamas official. Giving no details, the White House says the largest coalition assault on a Taliban stronghold in Afghanistan is going well. And the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says Western countries are spreading lies about Tehran's nuclear energy program.